Morning. Today's daf in Becharos, Tes Zayin. We are in Tes Vav. And we are on Tes Vav Manalaf. We're towards the bottom of the Amud. Not yet. We're going to get towards We're going to get there. Okay. We are in the middle of discussing our Mishnah. The Mishnah goes back to Yudalad. And the Mishnah had two halves to it. The first half of the Mishnah was talking about an animal that was Mokdash. And it had a Mum Kavua prior to the Hakdasha. And so I was makdish lemizbeach, but because it had a mum, so therefore I'm really being makdish damim lemizbeach. So really its value is going to be going to the towards the mizbeach. How is its value going to the mizbeach? So what we're going to do is we're going to sell it, and the proceeds are then going to be used to buy animals that are fit and eligible to be brought up onto the mizbeach, and that is kedushas damim lemizbeach. And the Mishnah gave us a litany of halachas that apply to such an animal, and after you redeem the animal, so where are we? It's chulin legamre, meaning because it never had kedushas aguf, it only had kedushas damim, so therefore when I'm poed, it goes to chulin legamre. Good. Second half of the Mishnah is talking about where I was makdish an animal where it was a tamim, it was not a balmum, and then it developed a blemish. So there I redeem it, and that's what's called in halacha psule hamukdashim. So psule hamukdashim has residual kedusha, and it does not simply revert back to being a regular animal, even though psule hamukdashim has the right to be redeemed. It has the right to be eaten, and it can be eaten by anyone and anywhere, and the Torah compares it to tzviva ayal, and all that's true, but it still has some residual kedusha, as we've discussed extensively in yesterday's daf, and we're going to continue discussing in today's daf as well. That is the starting point of the whole discussion. This took us through all of Yudalad, and it's going to take us through all of Tes Vav. We're going to finish Tes Vav today, and it's going to take us through half of Tes Zayin. So 2.5 blot in Becharos dedicated to this topic of Kedushas Dam L'Mizbeach versus Kedushas Haguf. We are now well embedded in the topic of Psula HaMukdashim. So that means to say now that we are going to be discussing for really the balance of today. We'll come back a little bit to Dam L'Mizbeach. But we're going to be discussing for the most part today or the circumstance in which I was makdish an animal before it developed a blemish, then it developed a blemish which allows us to redeem it, but post-redemption, post-pidyon, it's going to have residual kedusha. It's called psula hamukdashim. Now, what is the halachas regarding psula hamukdashim? So as we learned yesterday, the Mishnah taught us that psula hamukdashim is not going to be subject to neither the halachas of Bechora, nor is it going to be subject to the halachas of Matanos. Why? Why is it not subject to Bechora Matanos? Meaning that even after pigeon, even after it's redeemed, if it has a firstborn, not subject to Bechora. If you shecht it, you don't have to give Matanos over to Kohen. Why not? So the Torah says, because the Gemara says, because the Torah compares it to Tzvi Vayal. If you look in the Psukim in Parshas Re'eh in Perek Yud Beis, so you'll see the Torah actually is not super clear that's talking about Psula HaMukdashim, but the Torah Shebaal Peh clearly understands that these Psukim are referring to Psula HaMukdashim. The Torah says that you are allowed to eat it Kitzvi Vayal. You can eat it just like a deer and an Ayal. Ayal in that context over there is not talking about a ram. It's talking about a different type of deer. Right, ibex, whatever the English translation is. Now we know that these animals are halachically what's called a chaya. We know that chaya is not subject to the halachas of matanos. We know it's not subject to the halachas of bechor. Bechor matanos are only eligible for behemas, not for chayas. So just like the Torah compares these psulei hamukdashim to tzviva ayal, and just like tzviva ayal are going to be exempt from both Matanos and Bechor, so too our Psula and Mekdashim are going to be exempt from Matanos and Bechor. That was the construction of the argument the Gemara made yesterday. So let's pick it up where we left off yesterday.
Psula and Mekdashim is only for the goof, not for the dummy, right? Psula and Mekdashim is the result of...
It had Kedusha as a goof, and then developed a blemish. Right, Kedusha is dummy, and once you redeem it, we're at zero. Okay. It's a chul and a gamri, correct. Okay. Okay. Correct. This entire discussion is only about Psula HaMukdashim. This is where, right, the halfway down in Tzviv Amud Aleph. So, just like Tzviv Ayal, so you know, Ein Osev Es Beno Noeg Behem. The Isser of Osev Es Beno only applies to behemoths, not to Chayos. So, Apsul HaMukdashim, Ein Osev Es Beno Noeg Behem. So, do you want to say the same thing regarding Psul HaMukdashim? That's not going to be subject to Osev Es Beno. And the Gemara is basically asking because it's just an untenable position to take. That the Isser of Osev Es Beno shouldn't apply to Psula HaMukdashim. So the Gemara says, well, Amalei Lamai Medamis, Lohi Lechulan Osev Es Beno Noegbo, V'ilu Kashim Osev Es Beno Noegbo. So the Gemara says, well, that can be. And the Gemara articulates why we can't even entertain this discussion. Because let's consider, our Psula HaMukdashim, what is it? Is it, really, there are two different ways to look at it. It's really chulin with restrictions and regulations, because it once upon a time was a carbon, or it's a carbon with allowances. It's a carbon that, because it developed a blemish and because I redeemed it, so there's an allowance to eat it. So you can either say it's on the spectrum of carbon chulin, it's a little bit more like a carbon, it's a little bit more like chulin. But the Gemara says, vis-a-vis osav es beno, who cares? Osav es beno applies to kachim. Osav es beno applies to chulin. So over here, I don't exactly know where to set the dial on psule hamukdashim. Is it more like a carbon? Is it more like chulin? Quite frankly, what difference does it make? Osav es beno would apply if it were kachim, and it would apply if it were chulin as well. So amalei ihachi nami chabanami neimahachi. So the Gemara says, okay, so let's say the same thing regarding chaylev. And you remember in the Gemara yesterday, the Gemara entertained the idea for a moment. Well, chaylev of tzviva ayal is mutter, so shouldn't chaylev of psula hamakdashim be mutter as well? Right? That was the suggestion. Now, to that, the Gemara's response was, yeah, but the Torah says ach, which is a mit, which is an exclusion. So meaning the comparison is not a bona fide 100% comparison. We're not comparing all the halachas. So the Gemara says, well, if even before we got to the word ach, meaning, can't we make effectively the same argument? Again, chaylev of an animal, of a behema. What difference does it make whether it is more like kachim with allowances or it's chulin with restrictions? Who cares? When we have chaylev, chaylev of both of them are going to be aser. So the Gemara says, okay, so your argument is a fine argument. We know that the Torah's comparison between Tzvi v'Ayal is not an absolute comparison. It's not an indiscriminate comparison. The Torah says the word Ach, which means that there are going to be limitations to the comparison. So just like we limited the comparison and we don't compare it for Chelev, we're also not going to compare it for Osav es beno. And that means to say now that the Torah compares it to Tzvi v'Ayal, and so that's limited. Limited to... just like Tzvi V'Ayal is not subject to Bechoros and not subject to Matanos, so to neither are Psula and Mukdashim going to be subject to them. On the other hand, that's where the comparison ends. As far as the Isser of Chelev, as far as the Isser of Osav es beno, they are not lifted from Psula and Mukdashim, they still apply to Psula and Mukdashim. Good. That's all one approach. Rav is going to give us a different approach. It's going to come to the same conclusion. Everything I just said is accurate. Rav is not going to disagree with a single point. He just arrives at this destination and a slightly different route. Rav Amar Ach Laosav Es Beno Hudasa, that the Ach, which is creating a limitation in the comparison, is really for the Yisr of Osav Es Beno. V'chalbo, now how do I know that the Chelev is going to be prohibited? Midamo Nafka. Ah, you see, the Torah says regarding our Psula Magdashim that you're not allowed to eat the blood. And what the Gemara's Rav is understanding right now is that when the Torah says the word blood, that's code. Now, usually, dam means blood. I'm going to tell you, like 99 out of 100 times, dam means blood. But over here in this context, when the Torah is describing the dam of the psula mukdashim, it really means chaylev. Right? How do you do that? How did that happen? Dirchsiv, because the Torah says, rakas dam lo sochel, the Torah says of psula mukdashim that you're not allowed to eat its blood. My damo, now over there, how are you translating the Torah? Now, obviously, if you asked me, I would have said that the word damo means blood. But halachically, it doesn't make sense. Because ilim adamo mamish lo yehel adamam desvivaya. So the Gemara says, because look, we know the comparison where the Torah compares our psula hamukdashim to tzvivaya. And with that comparison, so we say, whatever's true by tzvivaya is going to be true by the psula hamukdashim. Tzvivaya, are you allowed to eat the blood of it? And the answer, of course, is no. So why does the Torah then now have to give us an additional pasuk? Precious real estate of the Torah is dedicated to telling us, oh, you can't eat the blood of Psula HaMakdashim. It was also prior to being Psula HaMakdashim. The Torah compares it to Tzviva Ayal. We know that the blood of Tzviva Ayal is going to be Aser. We don't need the Torah now to tell us that the blood of Psula HaMakdashim is going to be Aser. So, Atu Daman Tzviva Ayal Mishare, Ela Damo Chelbo. So the Gemara says, so over here, just because of the context, and because of the argument that we just created, so therefore the word dam over here is to be understood as chaylev. The chaylev of the psula hamukdashim are going to be prohibited. And the Torah has to tell us that. Meaning that point has to be made very clear. Because once you compared it to tzviva ayal, and we know that the chaylev of tzviva ayal is mutter, so then we could have constructed a very sensible argument. So now the chaylev of the psula hamukdashim is also going to be mutter. And that's why the Torah has to go out of its way and say that the chaylev is going to be asar. the obvious question, which the Gemara now asks. If the Torah means to teach us that the chalif is going to be usr, so why doesn't the Torah just simply say, hey, the chalif is usr? And why does it have to couch it in the term dam? I know that's the obvious question. The Gemara asks it. So why doesn't the Torah say that? The Gemara says, because here, let's see what would have happened had the Torah said the word chalif. So if the Torah would have said chalif, that you're not allowed to eat the chalif, so then I have both a hekesh and I have a pasuk. Now the hekesh is telling us heter, and the pasuk, if it would have said chalif, I know it's a strange discussion, but just follow the argument of the Gemara. If the Torah would have said that the chalif is aser, so the hekesh would have said heter, and the pasuk would have indicated iser. Not indicated, but said. So, ahani hekesh lamutim mikaris dechi kasav karis ha'ochel chalif behema hu diksiv. Shenemar kiko ochel chalif min ha'behema. So, if we would have had the hekesh would have said, okay, you eat the chalif of psulim mukdashim, it's not so bad. It's not so bad. Meaning, I know, it sounds funny. Meaning, we're going to remove it from the karis penalty because, generally speaking, the consumption of chalev is a karis penalty. But because our psula hamukdashim chalev is compared to tzviva ayal, so the hekesh is there to knock out the real bite of the iser and remove the karis. And v'hani krala make him a love valma. And the Torah says by the Torah telling us not to eat its chalev, meaning okay, it's not karis, but still alive. That's how I would have balanced it out had the Torah actually said the word chalif. But lahachi afka rechman ablashan dama lama lacham adama bekaris avchaba bekaris. And so by the Torah couching the term chalif into the term dam, so by dam we know dam is an iser karis, period. And so it would have been, it's an iser karis by chayos, by wild animals, it's an iser karis by behema. And so now that the Torah couches the word chalif into the word dam, so no misunderstanding, no misperception, and we know that the chalif is going to be both an iser and an iser karis. Okay. The hatana ach v'lo chabo kamar. So all this is Rava's understanding of what we're doing in terms of how we're learning the iser of chalif vis-a-vis psula amugdashim by virtue of the fact that it's really encrypted into the word dam. To which the Gemara says, okay, that's really nice. Wonderful. But that's not what the Braisa said. The Braisa said that it's all generated from the ach, the limitation of the hekesh, not because it's couched into the word dam. So hachi kamar ilo lo nemar damo ha'isir ama ach v'lo chabo ach shashen nar damo lausav esbeno hu da'asa. So Rava says, okay, look, I'm going to read into the Braisa. I know it's not a crisp reading into the Braisa, but here's what I'll say what the Braisa means. What the Braisa means is that if we had the word ach, we could have made a division between the tzviva ayal and the psula hamukdashim, and the ach is there to limit its hekesh. But now that I don't need it because I have the word dam, and according to Rava, dam, really what dam is referring to is the chalev, so I don't need it. So then what are we going to do with the word ach? We'll use it for other halachas, like osa v'esbeno. Osa v'esbeno is fine by tzviva ayal. It's not okay by psula hamukdashim, so that's what I'll use the ach for. But not, I don't need it for karis. That's what the braisa means. Okay, period. Adkan. Like I said, nothing changed according to Rava, meaning seemingly, right? The simple pshat in the Gemara, maybe a lamdus, you could tease out some differences, but a simple pshat of the Gemara is that Rava agrees with what we said previously regarding what is allowed by psula hamukdashim, what is going to be prohibited by psula hamukdashim. It is just a mechanical issue of how to get to that conclusion. Okay, Adkan. We are on the bottom of the Amud, Ve'ena Yotzim Chulin. Okay, by Psula Humugdashim, it does not go and does not become Chulin. Meaning that when I had an animal with Kedusha Zaguf, second half of the Mishnah, on Yudalit, with Kedusha Zaguf, and it develops a blemish, and I redeem it, so it's redeemed, but not fully redeemed. It's not Chulin Lagamre. And it's heavily regulated, it's heavily restricted. You can't shear it. You can't work it. You can't have it produce offspring. You can't milk it, etc., etc. Everything we learned back in the Mishnah. Tana Rabbanan, I'm sorry, I just made up that. It's there. Minahan Emili. So the Gemara says, how do I know all this? What's the sourcing of all this? Tana Rabbanan. Tizbach, the Torah says that with our psula hamukdashim. So you shechtev velo giza, and you don't shear it. Basar velo chalav. You can eat the meat, but not the milk. Meaning that there's only one benefit that you can get from psula hamukdashim, and that is fleishik. You can have dinner tonight. Fleishik dinner tonight, but you can't milk it. You have to eat it. Your dog can't eat it. And so from here we learn out that you cannot redeem an animal if the only benefit of this animal is that it's going to be used as dog food. For example, if your animal becomes a trefa, and now you want to redeem it, so you can't, because then the only benefit you're going to have is achilas klavim, and because it once upon a time was a karban, so it's just perfectly inappropriate to take a karban, once something that once was a karban, and use it to feed your dog. Now, Ikadami, now in the second version of this discussion, tizbach v'achalta, in another version of this braisa, it's going to be basically the same point, but with a subtle difference. Tizbach v'achalta, you shecht and you eat. The only benefits that you can get from this animal are poshchita. Now, poshchita benefits? There's only one.
Eating.
Right, that's it. Meaning, but that's obviously going to preclude milking. Because milking is obviously a benefit from an animal that we're generally allowed to have, but that's pre-shchita. So we're only looking for the poshchita benefits. So that's eating. So it's really the same point, just arrived at a slightly different conclusion. So but in this version, however, if let's say, for example, the animal died without a shechita, so would I be allowed to redeem said animal so that my dog can eat it? So according to this version of the Braisa, there is no drasha that would exclude this point, and so therefore you would be allowed to.
What about the skin?
Well, wait, one at a time. I don't know. Okay, it covered everyone? Okay, good. Okay, fine. Okay, but in other words, taking the hide and benefiting from the hide. Right?
Or feeding it or selling it.
All right, so Danny, I don't know. And then Hedy, in terms of giving it to Gaim, so presumably that would be okay. That can't be worse than a dog in terms of making usage of it for others. Profiting from it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. There I'm back to I don't know. Okay, perfect. Okay. Vladim v'chalbon asur la'achar pidyonan. Now, its offspring and its milk are going to be prohibited after your poda. Now, the milk we can leave out of the discussion. Take that off the table because there's really nothing to discuss regarding milk. In other words, an animal that is under the category of psula hamukdashim, you can't milk it. Period. Okay, good. That we've already established. But now we're going to be talking about offspring, and really what we're talking about, and it's going to be a good part of our discussion right now, that's going to cover pretty much almost an amud of Gemara, a little bit more, is derivatives of Kedusha. Okay? In other words, so now we're talking about it generating an offspring, and what is the status of that offspring? Now, it gets a little bit tricky because there are basically three different circumstances in which we could describe. And outside, not inside, so let me just simply paint three different circumstances that we could talk about. One, I redeemed the animal. The animal was once upon a time a carbon, then it developed a blemish, and then I redeemed it. And after I redeemed it, so now it falls under the category of psula hamukdashim with a heter achila, then it conceives, and then it delivers a baby. That's scenario number one. Now, in the Gemara, we're going to speak it out, but under those circumstances, one can easily imagine what should be the status of that offspring.
Same as the mother.
Right? In other words, the mother has a heter achila. Right. If the conception and the birth come after the redemption of the mother, so if there was a heter achila regarding the mother, so presumably we'll say the same thing regarding the offspring. Okay? Hold that thought. There's another scenario in which it conceived before pigeon and then gave birth after pigeon. So now it gets a little bit trickier because now this baby was growing in utero while the mother was still a carbon. Disqualified as it may be, but still it was a carbon. And now I was poda it, but okay, I was poda. I was poda the mother. What about the offspring inside? Which, by the way, is not blemished. What's going to be the status regarding the offspring? Okay, that now you can understand is going to get a little bit trickier. And finally, how about the following scenario? Let's say it both conceived and delivered before it was redeemed. So there you can easily imagine that now as it comes out before it was redeemed, so it is coming from a carbon, albeit a rejected carbon, a disqualified carbon, but it's coming out of a carbon. Okay. So those are three different scenarios in which we can look at when describing this question of the Vlados. And so the Gemara is going to discuss. So the Gemara says, okay, so now we have to, what we first have to do is wrap our head around what exactly is the scenario. So let's say it conceived and gave birth after it was redeemed. So the Gemara says, what should be the problem? Am I? Again, by Psula Hemukdashim, post-redemption, so the Torah compares it to Tzvi Vayal. If a simple question, if a Tzvi has a child, can we benefit from it? Of course. And what about an Ayal? If it has an offspring, can you benefit from it? Of course. In other words, obviously you have to go through the process of Shechita, but then you can eat it. So over here, La'achar Pijonam, if the Torah compares it to Tzvi Vayal, so for sure its Vlada should be Mutter. Okay, so that ends that discussion pretty quickly. It's after it's redeemed. You could be Makdish it afterwards, but no, it was redeemed.
So we can use it for Korban. You like another.
If you want to be Makdish it subsequently,
yeah, right.
But you could do that with any animal.
Not
okay, fine.
Not Ayal.
That's true.
If it's compared to Ayal, that means something else.
It's forbidden.
It means it's telling us that
we cannot even use it for Korban.
You couldn't use it for the Vlados, you can't use for Kaban. Okay, maybe.
It's compared to that.
Maybe. Okay, it's an interesting thought. Okay, the Ella de Avalif Nepijam Visala Achapijanam. So the Gemara says, so it must be that the Mishnah scenario is talking about where it conceived before it was redeemed and then gave birth after it was redeemed. So the Gemara says, Halif Ne Pijonam. Now, what if it gave birth before Pijon? So then Mikdash Namikache. So then it's now, if it conceives and gives birth before Pijon, so you know what came out of the mother, aside from it being a baby? It's Kadosh, meaning it has Kedusha. Now, what exactly do we do with it? So hold that thought for just a moment. We're going to come back. So basically now we have addressed all three scenarios. And to review, for scenario number one, where both the pregnancy and the conception and the birth occur after Pijon, so then it's totally fine, like the child of Tzvi Vayal. If it conceived before Pijon and gave birth after Pijon, so that's what our Mishnah is describing. If it conceived and gave birth, both of those events occur before Pijon, so what comes out is a Karban. What to do with that? So we're going to discuss in just a moment. So Menachem Nimila, the Gemara says, now, how do I see all this? Tana Rabbana Zachar L'Rabbos is a Vlad. Unakeva L'Rabbos is a Temura. V'ein li'el Vlad Temimim V'Temur Temimim. Vlad de balimum v'tumurs balimumim minayin kishuamer im zachar l'rabbos vlad balimumim in mekeva l'rabbos tumurs balimumim. So the Gemara quotes the drasha, and I'll just give us the quick version of the understanding of the brisa. The brisa basically says that if I have an offspring of even a blemished carbon, what comes out now is a carbon. Okay, fine. In other words, the word im is a ribui, and it tells us that what now comes out is a carbon. Okay, so, an animal that's born to a mother, the mother is a carbon, but disqualified because of a blemish. The offspring that comes out now is a carbon, and a carbon that we can offer? Next point of the Gemara. Osan v'lado shalacha pijonam ma'teh alem. So, lifnei pijonam miflag pligi behu. So, the Gemara now says that if the birth came before it was redeemed, so, again, it's a carbon, as we just learned a moment earlier. What exactly do we do with it? So the Gemara says we have a debate on this issue. So some say it could be offered as a carbon. And if you think about it, in other words, for just a moment, let's just defend this position. You could offer it as a carbon. The mother before Pijon is a carbon. It just happens to be, but because it's blemished, so right now it's ineligible to be brought on the Mizbeach. But you were Makdish before the blemish came. It had Kedusha Saguf. And it's just now, the mum is preventing it being brought on the Mizbeach, but in other words, it still has Kedusha Saguf. Granted, you can redeem it, so that kind of mutes the argument that it has full Kedusha Saguf, but the only thing preventing it from bringing it on the Mizbeach is its mum. It has an offspring. Now, if it has an offspring, and assuming, of course, the offspring is a tamim, so now that Kedusha Saguf is going to go into the child, and the child could be offered as a carbon. That's one position. On the other hand, Ikla Mandam or Kasha L'Raya. On the other hand, nah, they can't offer it as a carbon. Meaning that what happens with its offspring is that its offspring is going to take on its status. It has a status where it's a carbon, but prevented from being offered on the Mizbeach because of its blemish. So this animal, this offspring, same story. It's a carbon, but cannot be offered on the mizbech, despite the fact that it has no blemishes. What do you have to do? Oddly enough, wait till it gets a blemish and then redeem it. So then that we could treat it in the same manner in which we treat the mother. Fine. Okay, that's all if conception and birth occur before Pidyon. But now we're going to be discussing our Mishnah. Conception was before Pidyon, birth is after Pidyon, and now what? Acher Pidyon amate aleihem. So the Gemara says, so what do we do under those circumstances? So Am Rav Huna konsan l'kipa v'hein mesim. So Rav Huna takes the following position. In such an event where the mother was psula hamukdashim, the mother conceived before she was redeemed, then the mother was redeemed, and then she gave birth, so the resulting offspring is, according to Rav Huna, has some degree of kedusha. However, it's in limbo. It's in a limbo state. And because of the limbo state, so there's really nothing you could do with it other than just simply dispose of it, discard it. Right? To be more specific, konsan l'kipa, put it in a room and don't feed it, and it will die on its own, expire on its own. And the Gemara says, because consider the possibilities. Hey chalav, liker v'nu, we're going to offer it as a carbon. We can't offer it as a carbon. Mikol kedusha d'chuy kasu. Because consider now that it was born after the mother was redeemed. So therefore, it's being manufactured by, it's being produced by something that it itself is obviously no longer carbon. Lifer kinu, so the Gemara says, okay, so why not just simply redeem it? Lo alima lemitfes pidyonam. So interesting. You see, unlike the mother once upon a time was a carbon, and then it developed a blemish, but it still has now significant kedusha. Now I say significant. It's nice to say that without giving it without quantifying it. But okay, but here's what I'm trying to articulate. Meaning it's enough kedusha where the kedusha could transfer over to money. This offspring now that's produced, right? Again, it was conceived before Pidyon and was born after Pidyon. So now it has only residual kedusha. The mother, remember now, the mother itself cannot be offered as a carbon, but at least has enough kedusha left over where it could be redeemed. The offspring doesn't even have enough kedusha where it can be redeemed. It can't be offered on the Mizbeach, but it also can't be redeemed because its kedusha is less than that of the mother. And so therefore, it's now in a state where it is non-offerable, but also non-redeemable. And so therefore, nothing left to do other than discard it. Now, Amri b'marav mishmed rabbi chinna smach l'pijanam matfisam l'shem oso zebach. Is there a solution so that we don't have to do this? So we don't have to just simply discard the fetus. The offspring. So the Gemara says, yeah, here's what you could do. Right before the mother is redeemed, what you could do is you could be makdish the fetus inside. So smach l'pijanam l'mem d'bnei p'diyaninu ela emar smach l'pijan iman matfis l'shem osu zevach. So what we're going to do is that right before we redeem the mother, so what we're going to do is that we're going to be makdish the fetus inside to the same type of carbon that its mother is. Now, and that way it will at least have the same kedusha as its mother, and so therefore in under those circumstances it can be redeemed. And again, you wait till it gets a blemish. Now,
what's the problem with selling it? Selling it and use the money for Ola.
You can't sell it. In other words, selling it is redeeming it. Selling it is redeeming it. In other words, it has kedusha. So it can't be offered as a carbon because the mother, it's coming from a mother who herself can't be offered as a carbon. And you can't redeem it because it simply does not have enough kedusha where the redemption can take place. Okay. So, now, L'shem Oso Zevach.
Thinking of redemption, just selling it.
Speak to me after. We'll discuss it more. So, time am I. So the Gemara says now, Why should this be? Now Rashi does spend a lot of time on this particular line of the Gemara over here. Rashi offers a number of pshatim. The pshat that Rashi prefers is that this line is going back onto the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that the time of my amasnisen kamahader. Right, I'm on the Rashi. It's like six lines down after the lines get wide. It's going back on the Mishnah. The my time aser achar pijon iman. After the mother is redeemed, hapak kedusha sai be pijon iman. meaning if the mother's redeemed, doesn't the kedusha simply go away? Ki ech de pake gabi kedushas damim de vladan mutalach pijonam kedamar lael gzerusha migadol mipsul ehamugdashim. Well, Rashi now is going over the answer of the Gemara, but Rashi says that this question is really going back on the Mishnah, and the question now is, why is it that when we redeem the mother, why isn't the fetus inside come along for the ride and also receive a redemption as well? So gzerusha migadol behem adar medarim. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Because what's going to happen is that if we allow the redemption to serve both the mother and the fetus inside, so then what people are going to do then is they're basically going to be raising flocks. Flocks and flocks of psula hamukdashim. Meaning, psula hamukdashim, we want to stop at generation number one. We don't want that situation to perpetuate for a second and third generation. Imagine raising herds and herds of animals that you can't use until it develops a blemish. In other words, it's obviously going to turn into a mess. So therefore, that is why you can't just simply redeem the offspring. Now, we said as a measure in which, if in the event that the mother was pregnant while she was, before redemption, and then you see that she's pregnant, and you don't want to just simply, and you want to redeem it now, but you don't want to simply discard the fetus. So what do? You imbue the fetus with the kedusha, the same carbon as its mother. What about being makdashit as another type of carbon? Amalei in mafistin. So he says, no, you can't do that. It has to be the same carbon as its mother. My time, amalei gamar b'sharecha b'sharecha mibachor. Ma b'chor ein mafistim l'chol zevach shiyirtze. Dichsiv ach b'chor asher yuvukar l'Hashem bebehema. Lo yakdish isho so. Just like a b'chor, we don't have an option of being makdashit as any other type of carbon. Avhani ein mafistim l'chol zevach shiyirtze. Same story over here. You can't be mafistit as any type of carbon that you would like. Okay, and now, Tanya Kavasa de Rav Sheshes. And now, we're going to be quoting an extensive brisa, and the whole point of quoting the brisa is just simply to support this idea of Rav Sheshes. So, let's go. The brisa starts off. And the brisa, by the way, structurally is going to be the same as what we learned back in the Mishnah. Meaning there are two halves of the brisa. One is going to be talking about Kedushas Damim, Lemizbeach, and the other one's going to be talking about Kedushas Aguf. If I have a carbon where the blemish came before I was makdashit, so it is only has kedushas damim lemizbeach, and now I redeem it. So what happens? Goes back to being a regular chulin animal. But the brisa doesn't want to just say that. What the brisa is going to do is give us all the various halachas that we learned already. The brisa actually here is going to give even more detail. One. It's going to be obligated in the mitzvah b'chor and manos kahuna zor l'chay v'keva. Two, bein lifnei pijonam bein lacher pijonam agoz v'over behem eino sofeg es ha'arbaim. If you shear it or if you work it, you're not going to be subject to malchus because it's not psule hamukdashim. Now, I'll raise the point. I could have raised it back in the Mishnah, right? You're not going to be subject to malchus if you shear or work it because it only has kedushas damim. Isn't it still subject to the isser of me'ilah? Okay, I raised the question. but the point is, however, is that the simplest way to say it is that the Bryce over here is just focusing on the status of Psula HaMukdashim. And it's not Psula HaMukdashim because it only had Kedushas Damim. Number three, Bein Lifnei Pijonam Bein Lacher Pijonam Ein Osim Tamura. It can't affect Tamura. Of course it can't affect the Tamura. It's not a carbon. Number four, Lifnei Pijonam Ma'olam Behem Lacher Pijonam Ein Ma'olam Behem. Before you redeemed it, it's property of the Beis HaMikdash. It's not a carbon, but it's property of the Beis HaMikdash. Therefore, subject to Mi'ila. After you redeem it, not property of the Beis HaMikdash. Not subject to Mi'ila. Number five. V'ladosem chol v'niftin tamimim. Its offspring are going to be chol, as if it gave birth after redemption, and niftin tamimim, and you can redeem it even as a non-blemished animal, that's if it gave birth before you redeemed it. Number six. Matfisin l'chol zevach shiyirtzeh. What you should do with the carbon inside, with the fetus inside, is be matfisit for any carbon that you want, meaning there is no limitation of what the kind of carbon the fetus can be. Okay, klalo shel davar. And just in case you didn't understand the basic outlining theme of all this, harein kachul l'chol divrayim, en l'cha bahem ela mitzvahs ilui bilvad. It's chulin. As far as the Beis HaMikdash is concerned, what is the Beis HaMikdash interested in? Only its value. Okay. Aval. That's all first half of the Braisa. Now second half of the Braisa. Ava kana mekdeshim as mumam mumam over lekdeshim lacher mikano lamem mum kavua viniftu. But let's say you are makdish it as a non-blemished animal, meaning it's a carbon. Then it gets a blemish. And now I redeem it. So here, psule hamukdashim. And all the halachas of psule hamukdashim. And let's go. Peturim in the Bechor min ha-matanos is going to be exempt from Bechor ha-matanos as we discussed extensively this morning. Two. Beilifnei pijana mein lacher pijana magoz v'avor behem sofek etzar baim. Working it before or after redemption is going to be an isser in the Torah and a lav in the Torah subject to malchus. Because again, it's psul ha-mukdashim. We're not allowed to work it. Beilifnei pijana mein lacher pijana osei tmura. It can affect the tmura because it's a carbon. Even after you redeemed it. Now, if you want to sit on that point for just a moment, even after you redeem it, it can affect a tamura. It can create a tamura. Hold that thought. We're going to come back to that. Number six. Lifnei pijonam mo'alan bahem lachir pijonam ein mo'alan bahem. So before you redeem it, subject to me'ila. After redemption, not subject to me'ila. Okay? Sorry, I said number six. That was number four. I can't even read my own handwriting. Okay, number five. V'ladusem kodesh vein niftin tamimin. Its offspring are kodesh, and it cannot be redeemed in a unblemished state. Number six, ein matfis melchosev shiirtsa. When we're going to imbue the offspring with kedusha, you cannot just simply choose which kind of carbon you want it to be, but rather you're going to imbue it with the same kedusha as its mother. And it's really that line of the Braisa, which is the entire reason why we brought the Braisa in, because that line is supportive of exactly what Rav Sheish has taught us. Wonderful. Klal shodava harein kekdush l'chol divrehem ve'en l'cham behem ela heter achila bavad. Over here, the general idea is that because it was a carbon, and even though it has a blemish, and even though we redeemed it, it's still principally a carbon. It has kedusha. It's just that because it had a moment, because we redeemed it, there is an allowance for you and I to eat it. Okay. And on to the very fundamental question of psula hamukdashim: is it more in the spectrum of carbon with allowances? Right? Remember how we phrased it earlier. It's either a carbon which with given allowances that you and I are allowed to eat it because it had a blemish and because we redeemed it, or is it chulin but just heavily regulated and restricted? Sounds like from the Braisa of the former, not the latter. But in any event, kol shel davar dereishal asu yishochtem mechutz de pater. Now, whenever you see in the Mishnah and the Braisa of the words kol shel davar, it means to say that it's coming to make an add-on point. Right? What's the additional point of Klal Shel Davar? Meaning, I happen to love it just simply because it organizes all the information. But the Braisa or the Mishnah wouldn't do it just for the purpose of organization. The Gemara's understanding always is that it's coming to make an additional point, and that is, in the Reisha, Lasu Yishochtim Mechutz Tepater, because it only had Kedushas Damim in the Reisha, so that means that if I shecht it outside the base of Mikdash, I'm not subject to Shechut Yichutz, because it's not a carbon. And Klal Shel Davar de Seifa, and as far as what we learn in Seifa, as we now turn to Tazayin Amid Aleph, Lacha Asuye Chelbo, coming to teach us that the Chelev is going to be prohibited, like we learned earlier this morning. Amar Mar. Okay, so we quoted a Braisa, and the only reason why we quoted this Braisa is to support Rav Sheshes. But as long as we're here, and as long as we quoted the Braisa, so the Gemara says, okay, gives us an opportunity to just sit on some of the points of the Braisa. This is classic Gemara. So Amar Mar, ein niftin tamimim ve'ein matfis nalchol zevach sheyirtzeh. It cannot be redeemed in an unblemished state, and you can't give it the status of whatever carbon you like. So tamimim udla mifrike, habali momen mifrike. If it's blemished, you can redeem it. L'chol, now we're probably missing a word over here. L'chol ma sheyirtzeh hu de matfisin, ha lo so zevach matfisin, hech mishkachala. De matfisin lo so zevach v'niftin b'momen. So the Gemara says it goes back to the point of Rav Sheshes. The Gemara now is just simply articulating that this is exactly what Rav Sheshes taught us. That in the event that it was impregnated before redemption and gave birth after redemption, so if you don't do anything to that fetus now is going to be in a limbo state. So what you're going to do is that you're going to imbue the fetus with kedusha of the same carbon as the mother, so that now it can come out, be of the same status of the mother, and once it develops a blemish, then we can redeem it.
If you don't have a choice as to what what kind of korban it's going to be. Why do you have to say, why don't you just say that it's already imbued with whatever kedusha the mother?
Right, and the gemara just assumes that it doesn't work that way. Meaning, as a derivative of its mother, the gemara's assumption is that it tapers off in its kedusha somewhat. That's the gemara's assumption. Name atahavit yufta deravuna. So the gemara says, now this seemingly would be against the opinion of Rav Huna. Rav Huna that we saw earlier of Konstan Lakipa. So Amlucha Rav Huna, who hadn't dafila balimome, may niftin, va'aida tanaresha niftin, tamimin tananami seifa, a niftin tamimi. Va'aida tanaresha lachozevach shiirtsa, tananami seifa lachozevach shiirtsa. So the Gemara says it doesn't necessarily have to go against Rav Huna. The only reason why the Braisa made the point of redeeming it in a state, in an unblemished state, not redeeming it in a blemished state, other way around, is only for the purposes of symmetry, but it's not necessarily going against the position of Rav Huna. Okay. Vashachtim b'chutz pater, Rav Huna masti chayev. Now, shechting it outside the Beis HaMikdash. So in the Braisa, we said that it was pater, and the reason why is very simple, because it's not a karban. Now, Rav Huna had the same Braisa, but he learned chayev, not pater. Now, umukim labadugin shabayim v'liba de Rabbi Kiva de Amar im ala lo yardu. Going back to a point that we made when we learned our Mishnah back on Yodalit, that even though psula hamukdashim is obviously disqualified to be brought as a karban, and if I shecht it outside, under almost all circumstances, I am not going to be liable, because you're only liable for shchut echutz when it was only if it's eligible to be brought in the Beis HaMikdash. The only case in which we can entertain this discussion that you're going to be liable for shchut echutz if it's a really minor blemish. Minor blemish, the Gemara's example always is dukin sheba'ayin. It's like some form of cataract. The eye gets a little bit cloudy. And under those circumstances, Rabbi Akiva says, because it's a minor blemish, so it shouldn't be offered as a karban, but im alu, lo yardu. If it goes on to the mizbech, it's not brought down from the mizbech. So it is eligible, lowercase e, it is eligible to be brought onto the Mizbech, and therefore one would be subject to Shechut Echutz of Shechting outside the Beis HaMikdash. That is how you can learn the Braisa with the word Chayev, under those circumstances. And if you subscribe to Rabbi Akiva. Okay. Bein Lifnei Pijonam, Bein Lacher Pijonam, Osen Temura. Okay. We are now going to go back to that line of the Braisa. The Braisa said that if I have Psula HaMukdashim, before or after redemption, it can affect Temura. Now that is an interesting line, and the Gemara is now going to spend a moment thinking about it, discussing it. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Baravu, Asmur Solach Pijonam Mesa. Now, let's think this through. Before I redeem it, so what was it? It was a karban, which again cannot be offered on the mizbech because of its current state of having a blemish. But then I affect tamura. Again, rule number one with tamura: don't do it. Right? One should not do it. It's an isser. Lo yimirenu. But then, if you do, in fact, try to exchange it for another karban, vayahu usmuraso yekodesh. Both it and its counterpart are going to have kedusha. Fine. In psule hamukdashim prior to redemption, so then we totally understand. Meaning, what is it right now prior to redemption? It's a karban. Granted, I can't offer it as a karban, but it's a karban. And so therefore, when I affect tamura, so the next animal is going to have the kedusha of carbon. Kedusha is mizbeach. That part I get. What's obviously very difficult is that the Braisa says it can affect tamura before redemption and even after redemption. Now this is a real mind bender. After redemption, right? It's not a carbon anymore. Right. So how can it affect tamura? So this is what the Gemara now is trying to wrap its head around. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Baravua, Smor Sola Acher Pijono, Mesa. So if in fact it affects Tamura after you redeemed it, so then its counterpart animal is left to die. My Taima. Hechili Avid. So the Gemara says, because once again here, we're in a bit of a bind. Liquor of Emikol Kedusha Dechui Kasia. I can't offer it as a karban because its sourcing is an animal that it itself is no longer even a karban. It is what the Gemara describes it as, a kedusha dechuya. It's a rejected kedusha, right? It's source karban. And lifrikan, what am I going to do now? Redeem it? Lo alima, limitfes pijona. Meaning, again, we go to this idea of, whenever I have a derivative of a karban, It tapers down a little bit. Its kedusha tapers down a little bit. Even though its source carbon was redeemed, but in other words, it was already redeemed. Now I take this kedusha and try to replicate it to another animal, exchange it to another animal, transfer it to another animal, the kedusha drops. It doesn't dissipate, but at the same time, not strong enough where I can now redeem it and transfer it onto any kind of money. Hilkach Mesa, and therefore it's left to die. Maskav la Rav Amram v'tischa b'muma lebalim. So the Gemara says, well, wait 1 second. You know that its source animal was in a situation where we were allowed to eat it. Can't we say the same thing with the tamura? V'chima bein zela tamuras b'chor ha-meiser. You know, is this going to be any different than the b'chor of a tamura of a b'chor, tamura of meiser behema? Did none. And now we're learning together a mishnah tamura. Tamuras b'chor ha-meiser hein vladam vlad vladan ad sof kol olam. That when I affect a tamura from a bechor or from a meiser, so it's going to have the same halachic status as the original. And that means it is just like the bechor and the meiser can be eaten in a blemished state, so too its tamura can be eaten in a blemished state. So Abai says, I do not see it as being comparable. In fact, they're not comparable. And he says, and let's spell this out. Ze kulo tamuras b'chor ha-meiser, mikrei. Ma b'chor ha-meiser b'mumman mit'achlan labalim av tamura mit'achla. Let's talk first about a tamura of a b'chor, a tamura of a meiser. When we do a tamura, so we're making a carbon copy. I know the joke gets old, but somehow we're still going to make it. We're making a carbon copy, okay? And we're basically replicating. So in replication with tamura, so what was the source? A b'chor. What is now, when I affect Tamura and transfer that over to another, so it's a Bechor as well. Okay, good. A Bechor, the source animal, it can be eaten with a blemish. So too can the Tamura. Good. Vizeshem imo alav. Now, when I do a Tamura with Psulehem Ugdashim, after it was redeemed, so now let's take a look at its source, and then we can take a look at the replica. So Zeshem imo alav, Tamura's kachem mikrei, Ma kadashim lo mitachle ela bepijon, af tamurasam nami lo mitachle ela bepijon. So you see, as far as the source is concerned, the source is a disqualified carbon. Albeit it was post-redemption, but fundamentally it's a disqualified carbon. How are we allowed to eat a disqualified carbon? Only through redemption. How, if I now make tamura with it, so how can I then benefit from the tamura? Only through redemption. In other words, there has to be a process of pigeon in order for there to be an allowance of achila. V'halo alima limitfes pigeona. But here's the problem. He simply can't redeem it for the reasons that we articulated earlier. I can't redeem it because in the tamura, in the replication, it is not the same degree of kedusha. It drops a degree in kedusha when we're going through the process of replication. So we simply don't have enough kedusha in order to be poed to it. So it's really just a pragmatic issue of, in theory, we just like it's sourcing, you're poed to and you can eat it. Here too, you can be poed to and eat it, but because the kedusha just drops a little bit, and that disallows the redemption, so therefore we can't eat it. Tanya Kavasi, the Rav Nachman, the Gemara quotes the Braisa, totally supportive of this idea. Minan the Tamur's Pazula Mugdashan Shemesa, Tamalamar, Mimala Egeira Tame. So the Gemara quotes a drasha that brings us to the conclusion that since the words Mimala Hageras Tame is extraneous words in the Psukim in Parsha Shmini, and if time would allow, we would go through the Psukim and explain how they're extraneous. But for right now, suffice to say they are extraneous. So we're darshing from these Psukim that one is not allowed to eat the exchange for Psula Hamukdashim. Admittedly, by the way, we're going some distance from the source Pasuk, which has to do with Simani Kashrus by an animal, to the Tamura of Psula Hamukdashim. But it's a drasha. So Haimi Baila Chamesh Chatos Mesos, the Gemara says, don't I need the drasha to teach me about the five Chatos Mesos? There are five scenarios in which a Chatos animal is subject to be discarded and disposed of. So, and I'm not going to go through the five right now. So Hahu Mimafrisa Parso Tamei Nafka. So the Gemara says, no, we have another drasha for the Chamesh Chatos Mesos. So the Gemara just simply validates this idea that we have another pasuk that teaches us about chamash chatos mesos. What should be running through your head right now is chamash chatos mesos. That's not a halacha that's based on any pasuk in the Torah. That is halacha l'Moshe Mi-Sinai. That is an idea that we're going to see here as we are in the second half of Seder Kachim. We're going to be hearing again and again. And the Gemara right here makes exactly that point. So the Gemara says the pasuk is there teaching us a different halacha, the temura of a carbon asham. Temura asham, nami hilchasahi. The Gemara says that's not a pasuk. That too is halacha l'Moshe Mi-Sinai. Kol shebechatos mesa ba'asham roa. Ela la'olam chal mishchatos mesos v'itzerich kra v'itzerich hilchasa. So the Gemara says I'm going to go back and make the argument that it really is there to darshan out for the five chatos mesos. And it's a drasha, and it's halach l'moshe Mi-Sinai. And a really interesting piece of Gemara over here, as we are going to finish up right now, and that is that sometimes the two can work in concert. That halach l'moshe Mi-Sinai can work in concert with drashas of the Torah. Because if all I had was just a pasuk, the pasuk tells me that the chamash chatos mesos, the five various chatos that are to be disposed of, maybe we don't have to dispose of them. Maybe we can allow them to graze, develop a blemish, and then redeem them. Kamash malan hilchasa lemisa. The halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai says no such option. Rather, it has to be disposed of, discarded of. And now, if all I had was halach l'moshe Mi-Sinai, that tells us that there's an iser. But that does not tell us that there is a formal lav. So therefore, the drush is there to tell us that it's a formal lav. Halach l'moshe Mi-Sinai only tells us that something is usur. There is no onus, there's no punishment from halach l'moshe Mi-Sinai. So the complementary drasha is there to introduce us to a lav. That is all one approach. Or the Gemara says that we can learn it out through a hekesh. So just like over there, its fate is going to be misa. So too over here, its fate is going to be misa, meaning we can actually darshan out the misa. We don't need necessarily the halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai. We can actually generate it from the drasha itself. Okay, we'll stop over here. Let's just quickly recap. Okay, today, almost entirely, our discussion revolved around psule hamukdashim, the animal that was once upon a time a carbon, then developed a blemish, then we redeemed it. The Torah allows for us to eat it, and it's highly regulated, highly restricted. You can only eat it. You can't work it, you can't milk it, you can't breed it, you can only eat it. And so, a big part of today's daf was the source material for all these halachas. What would be in the event that it becomes pregnant? Three different scenarios in which we spoke about. Its conception and birth were after redemption, conception and birth are before redemption, or conception was before redemption, birth was after redemption. All these scenarios were discussed extensively in today's daf. And finally, we quoted a braisa at the bottom of Tezvav Amud Beis, outlining again the various distinctions between the carbon, which is Kedushas Damim Lemizbeach, versus an animal, which is Kedushas Aguf. Basically, a review of all the halachas that we learned back in the Mishnah. Spent a lot of time talking today about Temura. What happens if I affect a Temura from Psula Hamukdashim? What becomes now of the replicated carbon, of that replicated animal? Discuss that extensively. And then a question of how we're darshaning out the psukim in Parsha Shmini regarding the tmura of Psula Hamukdashim and the drashas for Chamesh Chatos Mesos and the drashas for asham, that the tmuras asham as well. Okay, we'll pause over here. Tomorrow we start with the Mishnah.